from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their 6 pools on 3 different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Get it.
It's the Rundown with the biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Bop a bop a bop bop bop. Memphis football picked to win the AAC championship.
This doesn't happen.
For the first time ever. Jason wants to do a freestyle. Go, drop a beat. Brad.
No, I'm not going there yet.
Brad, dude, drop a beat for
me. But I do feel inspired. I
MC,
really do.
We go MC.
By everything that's on the line this year.
MC Light.
Brad, don't do it. If anybody's gonna freestyle, it's going to be John.
MC Light.
I do think
there
we should think about getting back in the studio,
Let's
though.
Let's clear the way for Jay.
Because there's a lot on the line tonight.
Why can't you just put on the mic? You're right there on the mic. You know,
y'all got to move to the new one from Tommy Richmond that everybody's playing now, which is, I believe, Devil Is a Lie.
Oh, there is a new one.
It's a song I think about a lot when you and I are talking.
Well, that's,
Devil Is a Lie.
That's what I was thinking when I was watching the Grizz Summer
League. I'm pretty sure it's clean, Brad, so we can add it to the rotation. But Tommy Richmond, man, white dude, right?
Yeah, he's very white.
Man, boy's ringing it right now. I mean, the kids bouncing.
Yeah, I mean, here's the thing.
And some of the old men.
Here's the thing.
Tommy Richmond.
You guys don't have to run every single white person by me. I know I maybe created that, but.
We just want to see if they're great or not.
This is it.
Man, that thing, it breaks down.
This sounds like a 2000.
I'll wait till it gets going.
MIDI.
Man, there's some soul in there.
There is, yeah. You gonna try
now, is that him singing or is he just synthesizing?
No,
everything?
I think he's the singer.
I haven't looked into it.
I think he's the singer.
My kid is playing this stuff like crazy. Everybody is, though. I heard it again in the Circle K. They were bumping it over the speakers. You like that?
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool,
you'll be playing in the Howdy by when you leave. Jason put me on this, Sam.
No, I don't know.
Do you like it?
I don't know. You did put me on. I think were you the one that put me on Big Crit?
I think so.
I think you might have.
That was a long time ago, but yes, back in the day.
This is a good one. Yeah, I like this one.
Oh, it's a good one.
Yeah.
It's a new one.
Anyway, Jason's going to have a freestyle for Memphis football here in the next few minutes. But as he's getting that ready, Memphis picked to win somebody's calling you?
My wife, I mean, you know. Well, she knows I'm on the radio.
All right, we'll just answer it.
Well, you go ahead and talk about Memphis. What I'll do is text her and make sure that there's not an emergency.
I think we all need to hear it.
We don't need to pull back because it could be something bad. I told you with these flights.
Enough.
Again, we are stuck.
Yeah.
And I didn't. You know, I'm half not expecting our flights to make it back.
That's true. If my wife called me from the hours of 11.
Seriously, I got to check. All these people are laying down. They're laying on the floors of the airports and everything
we'll
else.
We'll do.
My wife is overwhelmed. She's having a meltdown.
Let me be clear. I handled the last
Memphis football is important.
7 days like man when you were gone, and I can certainly handle the next 5 minutes not here. All right, so watch and enjoy. Sit back and relax. Memphis football for the first time ever picked to win the AAC in football. Got 23 first place votes out of 30 media members. So there you go. 23 out of 30 is the official tally here. Second was UTSA, who got 4 votes, and then Tulane was third, which got 2 votes. So again, this was a landslide in terms of the voting here. And again, only 30 Army did get a first place vote. I know people are wondering, well, where's that other vote? There it is. Army got one first place vote in the AAC. But look, this is no question the most sizable expectations that a Memphis football team has ever had. In 2019, they were not picked to win the AAC. That was UCF. Now, they ended up doing it, but they were not the – in fact, let's see here. Were they even picked second? They were picked third. How about that?
Mm.
They were picked third. No, it looks like – well, sorry. It was the divisions were a little weird. So they actually picked second in that year. I apologize.
And there has – apparently there has been a year where they were picked to win their division but not to win the AAC.
Yeah.
But so this does remaining the only time they've been picked to win the whole thing.
Yes.
Obviously, no divisions anymore.
So they were. It's different. It's weird. It's very strange the way that it used to be because like there was like the West Division, the East Division, then there was an overall conference champion.
Correct.
So it's a little hard. But Memphis did not get the most votes right in that particular year.
Yes.
It was UCF. So this is the first time that it has ever happened for the University of Memphis. And look, with that. And is everything okay, by the way, with your wife?
Yes, everything's fine. Okay. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
I apologize for the interruption.
Nah, no worries at all. I just want to make sure. But yes, with expectations, now it's delivery time, right? It's time for, like Ryan Sommerfeld said, means absolutely nothing. And while I understand why he would say that, Memphis being picked means absolutely nothing, it actually means everything. It means everything. It means that you cannot underperform. That's what it means. Because you have everything. We talked about last year, right? We talked about last year with the schedule, certain things. You got the Tulane game at home, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how that had to be the year. It broke right for the Tigers last year, and they fell short. It's once again breaking right for the Tigers, maybe even more so this season because it's so bad. Right, it's so bad. UTSA lost Frank Harris, Cephas. You know, Tulane lost their coach. I know some of these games are on the road, but good grief! I mean, what are we talking about here? We're talking about mediocre teams. Anybody can lose on the road, but if you have the roster that Memphis has, they brought back everybody. The NIL they have, the transfers that they added.
Mm-hmm.
There are just no excuses for Memphis not to do this next season.
Unfortunately, not. And so you're not going to be able to say, well, our three toughest conference games, we're
that's
on the road.
Flying.
It's not going to fly, unfortunately. And we can sit up here and understand that here before the season, but if it's happening during the season and we find out that Memphis can't win in those games, again, the teams that are picked right beneath you, UTSA, Tulane, South Florida, you're going on the road.
Yes.
And so,
by the way, every conference champion has to go on the road.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just.
But you could argue you'd like to have a couple of those at
sure.
home. And it's clear it broke the wrong way for you there. But back to your point, there will be no excuses. You have brought back Seth Hennigan. You are now recruiting SEC-level talent to transfer in. And, oh, by the way, not just guys that rode the bench, guys that led their teams in rushing, guys that led their team in tackles. And so the time is now. There will be no excuses. And I think Ryan Sommerfeld knows that. You know, when you say that number one doesn't mean anything, it doesn't if you don't finish, if you don't do it, if you don't take care of business. He's right in that sense. But believe me, he understands that is not going to fly. You know, I mean, you remember, again, in losing to SMU last year, it was a game I attended. I mean, we remember our hopes were still high then for Memphis at that point, but it was sort of a, well, you know, SMU's paying $30,000 a guy.
Right.
And we just don't have it like that. That day is over. And it, particularly on the NIL side now with what FedEx has done, so it's even more reason. And, yeah, you get it in terms of the support in the NIL, and you see the impact. You get that, and you're happy about it, and you look at what it does to your football team on paper, and it goes out and helps make you the favorite. But now it that sword turns, and it also says you got to get it done. So there will be, you know, and clearly Ryan Sommerfeld understands that there's going to be no way you can spin this.
Right.
When you've got to go into Tulane I think it's the last game of the regular season, and get that win to finish this thing off. There have been issues under Ryan Sommerfeld winning on the road. Jeff was talking about this morning. He's right. It got better last year. It has to be great because you're going to need it to do what you have to do this year.
Absolutely.
To meet expectations. Again, we're not talking about goals and hopes. It's the expectation now to win the AAC to do what you're going to have to win these road games. Nobody's going to listen to what other teams are to you if you're trying to talk about what other teams are paying in NIL. You are now at the top of the food chain, and you have to act and walk like it. Period.
Yes, that's exactly right. And so it's exciting.
I just think it's exciting because you got the dogs to do it, John.
Well, it's validation.
It'd be one thing if it was just hope.
Exactly.
Like you got the dogs. You brought Seth Hennigan back.
It's validation that you know the truth of the matter is you're set up. You're set up, and you're set up in a way that you've never been set up before. You know, in terms of the quality of the league, in terms of the quality of your team, there's a big gap. There's a big disparity.
Well, I would just say, too, in image, because if let's just say that you do make a run at a college football playoff and a guy like Elijah Herring is successful here coming from Tennessee, Mario Anderson shines in coming from South Carolina as the running back here, much like Blake Watson did. And now, listen, what Blake Watson's with an NFL team, but to that sort of momentum you've built. If you can have Memphis in the mix nationally, how many other SEC guys now are you going to be able to get in the door with? You know, forget the ones that you're pulling up. You've done that too. The Chandler Martins of the world are that, and they've shined. But now, guys that you're going to be able to pull from supposedly above you, potentially, if this thing could go that, there's an opportunity to continue to cash in there as well. If you're the brand they recognize because you were all over TV as the best thing in the group of five.
Yes, exactly.
You know, you can keep that going.
Yep.
So. Lot riding on this season, but I think that's when it gets fun. That's when it gets really exciting.
Yeah, no,
especially when you think you have the potential to get it done, and it's more than potential. They've got all the players, John.
Yes, exactly. And so again, that's why like again, you know, I understand the human instinct to play it down. Because that's what everybody does, right? Nobody says, "Yeah, of course we're gonna pick first. We're gonna kick everybody's ass." Nobody says that, right?
You do that when you're constantly pick.
But even Kirby Smart ain't doing that, right?
Well, again, maybe in some situations. Maybe I should say around here.
Maybe you would do it.
You know what I'm saying?
Maybe you would do it. You would puff your chest out. You would try to, you know, rub it in everybody's face. You know, but that's not what our coach Ryan Silverfield is going to do. But but the truth of the matter is, it does. It does actually. I think what coaches are trying to do is almost hide a little bit from it. Almost like, no, we're not. We shouldn't be the, you know, because so the whole.
You got 23 first place votes. There's no, and the next team's four. You know,
yeah.
There's no running from this one.
But the whole thing is like under a promise, over deliver, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to over deliver when you're picked first. You know, like it's very, like you're just literally meeting expectations, right? Which is, that's the part of it that stinks a little bit. But what did you think was going to happen? Like everybody can see the depth chart, dog. Like.
He knew.
Yeah.
He knew.
And so I would just say this. I would say rather than say...
What's the better thing to say for him right now? Please, tell me.
I think you say, listen, we like our team a lot. We appreciate the recognition. And it's our job to go out there and prove that we're as good as people think we are. As opposed to saying, it means absolutely nothing.
Well, again, I don't know that we have the context of the absolute nothing. Again, that could just mean absolutely nothing if you don't fulfill what you're supposed to do.
Of course.
Except you don't have the whole...
We don't need anybody to say that. I mean, that's pretty obvious. Like, I'm saying, listen, I like our team a lot. We're bringing back some great players that have...
Because you're Mr. Braggadocious. That's just the way you would do it.
Silverfield said, it don't mean a damn thing. It don't mean a damn thing. But it's the first time ever.
If you don't get the ring.
But it does mean everything because it's the first time it's ever happened. So you can't say it doesn't mean a damn thing. It means a lot. It means that this program has...
Again, I would like to hear his next sentence because I guarantee you it was along the lines of, if we don't get this done, there's an opportunity
there. It was actually, the fuller quote's better. Those expectations are there, and I appreciate the media thinking highly of us.
That's literally what you said.
But that means absolutely nothing. That media poll, it's great. I appreciate that. That falls on guys like Justin Fuente, Mike Norvell, the people before me that put this program on a national stage for the great teams prior. But we are our own identity in 2024. We've got a lot of work to do. So it did get a little weird. It got a little weird there with the
Because you weren't one last year. This is not still based on Fuente and everything else.
Right.
You in a whole new place, bro.
Yeah, no, he's got to take a little bit more responsibility.
You're not picked one because of what Norvell and Fuente did.
No,
was a little bit weird.
No, I like what he's setting up because if they don't finish first, he can just blame Fuente and Norvell.
Dudes. Yeah.
He could just say it's Fuente and Norvell's fault.
That was weird.
It's a trapdoor expectations.
Oh, yeah. This is you.
No,
you got this thing to win.
This is
not Norvell and Fuente.
This is Fuente.
That's like acting like we get picked number one every year.
Fuente is like
that. And have been since then.
Fuente's like that 50 Cent meme. What'd he say me for? Like, I wasn't even in the. I'm not even in the.
You do not actually get picked first every year.
I've given him all kind of credit for embracing the expectations so far. Is this a little bit of a pivot here?
Well, yeah, exactly. Because like they had us sensing a pivot. They had us in the first half. Not gonna lie. Because it started so well, you know.
Yeah, it sounded like a Houston game.
And then he's like, I want to thank Tommy West. I'm like, whoa!
He's who got us here.
Yeah. Rick Shear.
But yeah. This is based on what
the legends.
He did.
Yeah, like.
No.
Before we had an indoor practice facility, those were the expectations that were set.
That should have been a separate.
I'm going to hope he's not pivoting. That's just a little bit of weird language there.
Well, you know,
again, when it does come down and you're picked one, that's when that heat lamp goes up a little bit. And
100%.
He's clearly feeling it a little bit.
He should have thanked Fred. I mean, kind of get that in there.
I'm sure that's in there somewhere. Because you're not getting some of these Mario Andersons or Elijahs.
He's not coming out and say...
He did to you, basically.
Well, he said...
You know, in any interview he's been asked about it, he's talked about the impact of what NIL's done, what FedEx has done.
Silverfield said, we're grateful, but that doesn't mean a damn thing. Personally, as a head coach, I haven't accomplished anything I want to in this conference. I've got a lot of work to do.
I mean, I don't mind that. He's right.
No, that's good.
You hadn't done
that's
a damn thing
stuff.
In the conference. I like that.
But it's like...
Man, you picking apart every one of his words like you do Penny.
But no, that's I want people to understand that it's the same energy, right?
Don't do that.
Oh, it is now.
They'd be like, if Memphis got picked to finish first in the AAC in basketball through some miracle, right? And Penny's, preseason press conference, like, you know, this is only possible because of what people like, Gene Bartow and Dana Kirk and Larry Finch did. Like, what are you talking about, bro? Like, that's weird. I mean, you got Silverfield over here thinking Spook Murphy. I mean, appreciate, you know,
how far they've
come. For
we good.
Sure.
We good. He just
But no, listen, I hold all coaches to the same accountability. I mean, it's just, like people try to say that I don't do that. That we don't do that, and we absolutely do. It's the same energy.
You waver sometimes.
Both Memphis coaches need to win the AAC and have no excuse not to.
Amen.
How about that?
That's fair.
And Taylor Jenkins? Let's
stick to it.
And Taylor Jenkins could get fired tomorrow, and I wouldn't lose a minute of sleep.
I mean, Taylor Jenkins is a good man.
I'm just saying, it's an NBA coach. Y'all get so attached to these guys.
I'm just messing with
like, you could put, yeah,
exactly
you,
why.
Y'all can put Jason March in there. Y'all can put Jason Fitz in there. It don't matter to me.
March definitely has the intensity. I don't know, you know. About the rest of it.
Yeah, like...
I like March. If he coaches like he does in summer league, he might be qualified.
But we've seen Taylor get intense, too, and that still doesn't make him the guy that's necessarily going to put us over the top. We don't know.
Yeah.
He will be judged come playoff time.
Yeah, so, I mean, there's no question.
Or if this thing just falls off, which it's not going to do. Some of y'all have kept that scenario open. They're not going to start off the season poorly.
Did y'all hear after Swider hit that three that, you know, the Grizz called a timeout, right? Did y'all, March was mic'd up. Did y'all not see that? It was on, I guess it was on the NBA VIP broadcast.
It felt like everybody was mic'd up. They showed a bunch of highlights.
Yeah, GG.
Yeah, but I've got the
transcript. Yeah, please.
I've got the transcript.
We'd like to hear it.
This is what Jason March
told
the Grizzlies. He says, I don't know what to say, really. 10.5 seconds till the biggest battle of our professional lives comes down to today. Now, either we heal as a team... or we're going to crumble inch by inch, play by play, till we're, and he's looking directly at Gigi and Scotty when he says this, till we're finished. We're in hell right now, gentlemen. Believe me. And we can stay here in Las Vegas in the desert and get the ish kicked out of us, or we can fight our way back into the light. This is what he's saying.
Yeah.
This is the NBA VIP broadcast.
That's why we were locked in. Yeah.
We can climb out of hell one inch at a time. Now, I can't do it for you.
Yeah.
It's just the heat.
I'm too old. I'm too old, GG. And Scotty, you probably are too. But I see these young faces, other than Trey. And I think, I mean... I made every wrong choice a middle-aged man can make. This is what Jason March is telling the Grizzlies
really
in that timeout huddle. Yeah. It's a lot. It's a lot. Whew. I pissed away all my money, believe it or not. I chased off anyone who's ever loved me. And lately, I can't even stand the face I see in the mirror. And it was a lot. I mean, you can clearly see that it was impacting Isaiah Miller.
I didn't know he was going
through all that. That's why he did that windmill.
But just to sort of bottom line it, he said, the inches that we need... are everywhere around us. They're in every break of the game, every minute, and every second.
And that's inches for yards.
It's for the physics.
Lack of vert.
On this team, we fight for that inch. Mm-hmm. On the Grizzlies Summer League team, we tear ourselves and everyone around us to pieces.
I know what that speech is.
For that inch. So, who's willing to die? Either we heal now as a team or we will die as individuals. And that's what happened. The Grizzlies died as Summer League individuals, didn't they?
Yeah, to a third-year Josh Christopher first-round bust who wanted it just as bad.
That's Summer League basketball, guys. That's all it is. Now what are you going to do?
Should have gave it to Alondis.
So anyway, listen, it was a dramatic...
You've gone too far.
It was a dramatic moment.
These are kids. They want to win when they're together.
You got to look at the guy next to you. Look into his eyes.
Look at Jimison.
That's right.
Set a screen, bro.
You're going to see a guy who'll go that inch
how
with
many, you. How many bunnies did Jimison miss yesterday? Gigi had to tip the damn thing in.
That's right. When Jimison
just laying there, I can't do it.
When Coach Marsh started getting into sort of his personal life, it was a little weird, you know.
Says but, dicey.
But I will say, Gigi made the three. He made the three there out of that timeout. Scottie Pippen
is that the one that Scottie got the offensive rebound on? So he got
LaRavia looked like he broke his leg there, and they kept playing him.
No,
like, boy, he ain't coming out.
Look, you're going to have to die on this court if you don't want to. If you're not going to finish, you're going to have to go out there and die.
I can't remember the sequence, but I do remember it was late. I can't remember if it was before Pill hit the shot, but Scottie and Gigi had a chance. And it got convoluted up at the top of the key. Do y'all remember that?
Yeah. And they were like trying to figure out who's going to take the shot.
It was their two best players of Summer League right there.
Here,
I felt like when we blew that.
Yeah, they were trying to figure that
again,
out.
Again, it's your best guys. Yeah. And I felt like that.
And then Scottie threw an air ball.
Us.
And he tried to get the three.
Exactly.
And then they did a kick out. Wasn't it a kick out to Gigi? And then he hit that one?
Yeah,
that
was on the offensive rebound.
Yeah,
I think mine was later on.
Okay.
You're talking about
it's like our last chance. It felt like
it was regulation. This you're talking about the regulation.
I guess that was regulation.
Okay. Maybe it was OT.
I thought it was OT.
It could have been. I thought we had our chance.
Well, it was also intense. It all blends together, y'all.
Exactly.
It was a battle.
Everybody was locked into it in Memphis.
It's running together because of all the Elam endings. Are you watching like TBT too?
I'm not, but it is.
I don't know if you like Chris Jones and Jeremiah. No, I'm just saying everybody's sitting at Elam, and then with the overtime thing in the NBA. Somebody else sent this to me in the championship game. Why not just go ahead and go to a certain time?
Yes.
Yeah.
But you've already changed the rules. You changed the fouls. You changed the amount of time you're playing.
Do all of it.
Why not just change the rules and at least if you're going to get to an overtime, put a set.
I think that's a fair question.
Yeah, I mean, did we need Elam ending? The place isn't.
Yeah, no, y'all Thomas and how, Mackey can have a
y'all,
game.
Y'all notice how everybody pretty much clears out of there by the last few Summer League games?
Yep.
Because the place wasn't full, and so do you need Elam ending at that point? You don't need excitement. You just need a real overtime. I didn't think that helped anything.
It is fun, though.
Again, that's worrying. That's caring too much about Summer League. That's also part of it.
You're doing
careful.
It. You're doing it.
Because we lost.
Yes. you were ready. I mean, you were talking so much trash to me on text. I mean, it was embarrassing.
I think it was embarrassing. You're how turncoat you are.
You won money off of the Grizzlies' backs.
I have no loyalty.
How dare you?
I just feel like there's going to be a situation in a Western Conference semifinals.
Oh, yeah.
Where John's not feeling it.
Yep. He's out of the love.
And you can't do that around here if we're talking something that stakes that big.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think
this was a Summer League game. Big difference.
Don't do that.
But I can feel us getting there. You're going to have to keep those quiet.
Yeah, I agree.
Because then we will have a real problem with it.
Yeah.
I was feeling it a little bit during Summer League.
You didn't like
it. If we get to a real one like
that's
that.
That's right.
And you're feeling, you know, Dallas plus +5.
Yeah.
In the Western Conference semis game 7.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody going to want to talk to you.
No, I agree with that. I wouldn't come on here and rub that in.
That's what I'm saying. You ain't going to be able to talk about that.
I'd like to.
Because I know you're about that money, and you will do it.
I will do it. I will fade my grandmother.
You will go against Ja and everything else, everything that you say you believe in, everything that is Memphis. You will do it for the money.
If it's too many points, I will. That is true.
You know what they call them? Sellout.
Hey.
Don't sell out your city.
Don't do that.
Hey, I made
don't sell out your team.
Look,
Summer League's one thing.
I made two bets yesterday: Serbia against Greece. So I went with my bloodline there. That was an absolute destruction. I don't know if you guys saw that.
Serbia is going to have
we've got their number.
Yeah, you're going to fade the States now?
Absolutely.
But How dare you?
We have Serbia's number though.
That was a fake game.
Serbia, we know how to handle.
That was a fake game.
Okay.
That they didn't show y'all nothing. Okay. All right.
Those lines are starting to come down, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
None of this 40-point crap.
It was 16.5 against Serbia 3 days ago, and now it's down to 14.5.
Yeah.
So the United States, well, the United States is like all, you know, Kerr's not the right coach, and the starting lineup's not the right starting lineup, and Anthony Edwards isn't playing well, and Embiid stinks. I mean, Halliburton is not playing anymore.
I was wrong. He's the wrong pick for this team.
Yeah, he's not good. He's not.
I said that when the immediate team came, when they announced the team, that I thought was a good pick because he's more of a distributor. You can't play him. You can't play him because he doesn't play defense.
Exactly. And he doesn't really do anything on offense. Like, yeah. He's a perfect modern NBA point guard.
It's not just him. Like, Steph looks pedestrian.
He does. He can't shoot the field ball.
And how is that under Steve Kerr? Like, I figured he would be, especially with KD out. I need Steph to not be pedestrian, averaging 12 and a half.
Because he doesn't handle the ball the whole time now. It's weird. You know, like, he's been so used to handling the ball.
You got to figure out a way, man.
Yeah, like, that FIBA ball is confusing him, though.
Here's my thing.
It's the ball?
I think it might be the ball, bro. It's a different ball than the one he shoots with.
Yeah, it is different.
That one where he turned and just fired from when they saved him around half court, didn't have any problem.
What happened to Kerr?
I wondered whether he's getting enough opportunity. We've got so much on LeBron, especially in the clutch.
Kerr, Mr. Coaching Savant, all of a sudden. Now, why are we not getting he's still a coaching wizard stuff while all this is going on, you know? Like, everybody brags about Steve Kerr like he's God's gift to coaching.
No, I think Jess told you something that where people are at, Golden State folks are questioning, you know, how good a coach he is. They're doing that right there in his town. And so I think it's plenty fair to ask questions about Steve Kerr's rotations, some of his decisions.
Yeah, the FIBA ball.
We've held him up far too long.
It's rubberized or something, right?
I think it weighs a lot less than an NBA ball.
Oh.
So that's the problem. It weighs like.
It's like a girl's ball.
It is. And like if you look up like the FIBA versus NBA ball, like you'll have ex-NBA player. Rajah Bell said it's a huge deal. I've always said that FIBA balls affected my shot and other NBA player shots tremendously. I hate that ball. It's lighter, feels smaller, different texture. When the art of shooting is based on muscle memory and you change all the factors except the rim size and the height, it's going to be difficult. That's Rajah Bell.
It's painful. It's painful.
Rajah Bell was a great shooter. He wasn't Steph, but he was a great shooter. I know you certainly looked up to him.
I take no stock in what Rajah says.
Why? Rajah Bell, bro.
Wait, y'all just found out random Rajah Bell to say that the ball is different. Where are the other superstars? Show me the superstars that have said it's different.
Well,
where are the other testimonials?
Oh,
it's just weird. It's
Rajah
just random.
Rajah is the only one that was brave enough to talk about it.
Yeah,
dude.
Apparently.
He was a 41% three-point shooter for his career.
That's pretty good.
I mean, you know, I just think.
I think
the Rajah Bell erasure is embarrassing.
Has a star said it? And then I would have to tell you, I believe it a little bit more. It's just random as heck to get pull Rajah Bell out of the past.
He was a 41% shooter for his career, man. I mean, it's pretty damn
good. Well, I saw the numbers. Steph isn't shooting the ball well. So yeah. I believe that part of it. I'm not going to sit up here and say, Rajah Bell proved it to us.
I already told you. You were looking for a superstar shooter to tell you.
I think opportunity is part of it, too. They're just deferring so much to LeBron.
Right.
You got to run some stuff.
You know, I mean, if in basketball years, LeBron James would be told, you know, that he's too old to run.
It's amazing what he's doing. Somebody said, I'm just hating on him, you know, I hate on him too much. I call a bubble title. And then yesterday, you know, we tweet out, man, thank you for LeBron James, but I'm pulling another one out. And I have a healthy respect for LeBron. It's even healthier.
I'm not sure if it would. I'd say it's healthy.
And in fact, I think there's almost too much respect from his Team USA teammates in the sense that they're looking at him saying, you got to do this for us. He's 39. You guys are stars, too. Like, this is ridiculous out there, what we're asking of him. And so, and to that again, that guy on Twitter, man, I have a healthy, it will always be a bubble title, but I have a healthy level of respect for LeBron James. And I will say, I have each day and each game that he has to win for Team USA, I have a harder and harder time making the case that he is not the GOAT.
Right.
When you can continue to play at this level at that age.
Yeah, I did throw a favorite on that tweet that you sent yesterday. God bless this American patriot.
Yes.
He's one of the great patriots.
Well, I mean, he had to save us again. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a final 11 or something like that. I mean, it was crazy. It was crazy how he took over that fourth quarter.
Took it over. We ended up winning by four. Germany wasn't supposed to be close. Remember you and me talking about it yesterday? We're completely wrong.
That was supposed to be a squash spot.
Yeah, this was supposed to be a wake-up call. Sudan, they're going to come alive. Shoot.
Bad.
Man, Bogdan was killing.
I think it's possible that the United States is just not a – like, the fits are just not great. Like, that's the problem.
It has to be.
You know, because the talent is undeniable.
But I will say, I mean, Derek White ends up being a good fit because you need those guys. And I'm telling you, he blocked that putback dunk late by Sudan in South Sudan.
Yes.
And was key in that. Halliburton ain't doing that stuff.
Yes.
And so you're right. There's something off in terms of the way they put it together.
But I will say this, you know, because everybody holds up 92, right? The dream team and all that.
Yeah, yeah. We're the best.
I'm sure you guys have seen the graphic. And the rest throughout the rest of the world, there are only nine other NBA players.
It's a good graphic. It's a good reminder that the world is much better.
In 2024, Team USA will face 61.
Whoa. So, yeah, that's a change.
First of all, is nine. How many is it for Dream Team? 92?
Yeah,
I mean, did they face?
Nine.
Wow.
I mean, to go from that to 60-something is pretty crazy. And it does. It shows you the world is much better.
Wow.
Yeah, so that is the difference, right?
Yeah, I mean, these are still Hall of Famers,
six times NBA players.
And Dream Team clocked everybody.
Beat the hell out of them.
And LeBron is a Hall of Famer, and Steph is a Hall of Famer. So, yeah, the world's caught up, but is it supposed to be what it's been the last two games? Yeah. Still, no, especially not with South Sudan. Germany, I will give all the credit in the world to.
Right,
they've proven that they're a real power in basketball. Yeah. And they just are.
And I'll say this. I mean, this was obviously, we started on, we just didn't say the next story thing. We're just kind of working around. Which
next story.
We're on Team USA.
But the difference with Team USA and the rest of the world, and I think this is a very, very important distinction, is that this is Steph Curry's first Olympics, for an example.
Yes.
Other teams have been playing together for multiple cycles.
Mm-hmm.
The names and the faces have not changed.
Oh, that certainly helps them.
Right? Like, they have an undisputed, these are our best 13 guys, and they're playing together in the World Cup. They're playing together in the Olympics. They're playing together in everything, right? So there is just a more natural chemistry with each other as opposed to Team USA, which there's no Kawhi this year. There's no Steph hasn't played previous years. You know, you add in guys like Halliburton and Derek White, and it's just kind of like this revolving door of, because we have so many great players, right?
Yep.
We have so many great players, and I think that is an issue that you're seeing. Add Embiid, a lack of continuity, great talent, but they clearly just haven't played together.
That's clearly part of it.
You know, and it shows in games like, obviously, South Sudan. And what do you fall back on when all else fails? The greatness of LeBron James.
Does it?
You know, I mean, that's what you
everybody
know you have.
Everybody deferring to him.
Exactly.
Go get the bucket.
That's what Drew Holiday said. He said, you know, just being LeBron James. And that's just a universal fundamental truth. We know that. We don't have to sit here and go through practice and watch film to know that. But that is a problem. Like, Germany, those dudes were playing the World Cup last summer. You know?
Dennis Schroeder, man. Grizz killer, Team USA killer.
Yep.
Now, he missed a couple big ones late.
He did.
That ended up helping us, but he's just constantly on our tail.
It's amazing how
he took the ball from Maine.
Internationally, he's a great player. NBA, he's just not.
Unless it's against the Grizz.
Yeah.
Maybe it's just me. He feels like a Grizz killer.
I think he kind of is.
I remember him taking that ball from Maine when he was with the Lakers, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
Winning that game.
But, yeah, it was a scare.
Y'all take it easy on LeBron. Let him rest. So it's real from now on. That was the last one, right?
Yes.
Let's put nuts and bolts
Sunday
finish
against
on
Serbia.
This.
It sounds like no Kevin Durant. So what the hell is going on there? Is that a serious injury? I mean, he's not playing in the first game of the Olympics. He's
more serious than they thought.
No doubt. Because that's what
Steve's got everybody thinking their chances depend on him.
Yeah, so according to Brian Windhorst, Kevin Durant likely to miss Team USA's opening game against Serbia. Kerr met with Durant yesterday, mutually deciding more time is needed for the calf strain. So at this point, I'm kind of just like not expecting him to play.
Why don't we just sit him and fly somebody else over there?
Right. Well, like exactly. I mean,
at this point.
Maybe they're just saving him for knockout stage. I don't know.
Who could we send? I can tell you who we send. Jaylen Brown.
Exactly.
Have 10 Celtics on his team.
No, they would send...
Jaylen Brown is getting... What is the deal? Is that a shoe deal? Is it a...
Yes.
But I don't understand. So why is it a shoe deal?
Because he's not Nike, is he? Or is he?
I think he is Nike.
Maybe
I thought he was. I haven't had it. Some people I've heard say it's a shoe deal, but I haven't heard the conversation.
Nike.
Yeah, he's Nike, so that shouldn't be a problem. Because LeBron's Nike and everything else, you know. That shouldn't be an issue.
Well, he said he believes that Nike is to blame here.
That's what I thought, is that he said it's a shoe deal.
Right. So if he's Nike, he would not be saying that. I mean, that would make absolutely no sense. He would not continue to be a Nike person. It would make sense that Nike's keeping him out because he's not Nike. Nike kept Kyrie out because he's not Nike.
Brown has not signed a shoe deal since then, playing as a sneaker-free agent.
Right.
for the past three seasons.
Yeah. There it is.
This is from mid-July.
Yeah. So he's not currently Nike. Right.
He's a free agent, so he's probably in the mix and looking or just going to be without.
He's just going without.
Yeah. That's wrong.
Yeah, he's agnostic.
Yeah, and that's why Nike is not, you know, Nike's a USA basket. It's all sort of, you know, a marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't believe that there are any non-Nike athletes on this team. I mean, I don't believe that to be the case. So they ixnayed, you know, all of that. So
that's, the whole team is Nike? Then what do you have Grant Hill for? Just have freaking Phil doing it.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm pretty sure that
there's not one Adidas guy on there?
I don't think so, bro. Who would it be?
I don't know. I thought I'm just making sure.
I mean, maybe Joel Embiid. Joel Embiid might not be Nike. He might be somebody else, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, because Harden's not on the roster. He might have been the last one. Is it Anthony Edwards?
I thought he was.
And the Ant-Man.
No, he's Adidas. You're right.
He is.
Yep, he's Adidas.
Yeah, Hurd said that yesterday. That's right. That's right. That's where I heard
Ant-Man. You can't leave Ant-Man off.
Who knows Edwards will. Yeah. Yes. There it is.
That's why he's such a good player.
Ant-Man had to be on there, and he's Adidas.
Joel Embiid has a shoe deal with Skechers.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Well, that did suck.
Nike doesn't even care about that, right? That's not even a whatever.
No wonder he plays like an old man.
How popular are they?
Skechers?
Yeah.
Not?
They're not.
Have you ever been compelled to buy a pair of Skechers?
No, not me, but I'm asking in a way, with some factions of white folks.
I don't think so, bro.
Old men.
Okay, that's what I wanted to know. I know they're popular with somebody. Somebody's buying them.
Tony Romo's endorsed them, I think.
Uh-huh.
There's
a faction of white America that buys Skechers.
Man, I think Tony is their endorser.
They would have been out of business by now.
Yeah, I mean, Tony Romo endorses Skechers.
You're probably right.
But that's why I ask you to. Because I don't endorse them. It doesn't even occur to me to look at Skechers.
No. No,
I've never even considered.
Are they for walkers?
They are. They're kind of orthopedic like. They're old man shoes. They're big. I mean,
old man walking the mall.
They're not sexy to look at all. They are comfortable, from what I gather. Mm-hmm. Not to dog on them, but you know.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't. I don't understand. I mean, I don't wear. I got Crocs, I got slides, and it's all Nike for me.
My kid loves Crocs. Yeah. That's what the kids love.
Those. Yeah, that's all. And I only have one pair of Crocs, so it's not like I'm
going to. Well, I mean, CJ's a Nike kid. He's already, you know, part of the brand.
Yeah,
we've already signed.
I haven't bought a new pair of shoes, though, a new pair of Nikes in a while, though. So, I mean, I'm kind of just out of the. I used to keep nothing but Heat, but now I'm just like, I don't even care. I just wear slides all day. You know, doesn't even matter.
He's had the best time seeing NBA players, and Gigi had him on last night. Gigi was wearing the Kobe Venice Beaches.
Yeah.
And that's the ones that Chris was wearing the Jaws, but he looks at it, he's graduated to the Kobe's, which most players wear because they feel like it's the most comfortable shoe. Huh. It was interesting to see Gigi, who had worn Jaws, I think, again, at some points in the summer league, but definitely last year, too. Most of the team is still wearing Jaws. Scottie Pippen Jr. has been wearing them. Gigi last night had on Kobe's. He had on the Venice Beaches. I just wonder if and once guys go to those Kobe's, they typically stay in them. So I'd be interested to see. It was weird to see Gigi go over. And he might have been wearing those in the semis or whatever else, but I noticed the change last night. He'd been wearing Jaws at some point. And anyway, Chris has worn those Petros, those Kobe's now. Jatu's going to have to win him back because he's great. He says he's graduated now.
Some of those are expensive.
The Kobe's go up there. And they're harder to get.
Yeah.
They're harder to get.
StockX type stuff.
They go out of, you know, you try to buy them off the app, they go fast, and you'll have to be like, John, like you just said, you'll have to go to StockX and pay the strength.
I'm looking at them. They're like $1,000 for some of those versions.
But that's who all the ballers say they feel better.
Yeah.
That's what I'm interested on. Josh Shue, again, to get more NBA guys. Of course, you got your team wearing them, and especially your summer league team. But to get more guys in the NBA wearing his shoe, you got to get them. You know, it's got to be comfortable. Yeah. Right now, everybody loves those. They still love the Kobe's.
Are they still too thick with the designs on those Jaws?
I mean, my thing is, John has he can speak better to this than me because he's played in them. My son has played in them. John's played. I just wear Jaws in terms of how comfortable they are, and that's what matters to the league is how it feels on their feet. And so last year, I mean, it wasn't a super popular shoe among the NBA guys. You'd always see it on some Grizzlies, but not a ton all over the league. It was mostly role players that were wearing it. And for him to get that thing up there, like, you know, where Kyrie had it, you know, he's got to – you just wonder if that the structure of that Jatu's got to change a little bit in this new – we've seen the purple ones come out. I think that's it, though.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, we've seen the color. We've seen the picture. Of course, they haven't come out yet.
But anyway, Team USA survives another scare. This time, Germany. but they do get the win. They have not lost. There's something to be said for that. They're not losing these games. So they're close. They're brushes, but they're not losing these games. And so it did not happen. Once again, they emerge unscathed heading into the actual Olympic Games that start on Sunday.
Next story.
All right. We talked about LeBron, who, I mean, has certainly showed in the last two exhibition games that he deserves. And somebody else, maybe it was Michael Eaves, that was pointing out LeBron's not just like the face of the NBA. He's sort of the face of American sports. And I know NFL is king, but if you say LeBron James, you just think American sports. You certainly do. And so him in the opening ceremonies, the Olympic opening ceremonies, you know, being the flag bearer on Friday seemed to make a lot of sense to both me and John. We talked about that yesterday. I'm going to tell you something that doesn't make a lot of sense to me, though. He's carrying the torch. What is this infatuation with Snoop Dogg?
I don't know. He's carrying the torch.
Yes. I love me some Snoop. Love the music. And I'm not hating on what Snoop has done with his career. In fact, it's pretty dang remarkable. Like, the guy has evolved into this dude that you can put next to Martha Stewart and people will watch, and he's become more so mainstream in a way, bro. If you had told him that he was going to be this when he was back rapping with Dre on the Chronic, he would have said, no way that's ever going to be me. But he has evolved, and I'd give him all the credit in the world for that. But I'm not somebody who's still tuning in for Snoop because I've seen all the old antics. It's all the same, but we put him on the mainstream now. He's not just carrying the torch in terms of on the last leg there, one of the last legs. Like, he's a part of NBC's coverage of the Olympics. And so he will be all over. He's meeting the horse that he said was crip walking. He's getting a chance to meet the horse. Him and Kevin Hart had been on something where they've already done some equestrian or whatever else. They've set up meetings. He's going to be on coverage for NBC, and we got him carrying the torch. That man, other than coaching his youth football team, right? And I know he's got people say he got a baseline jumper. What does Snoop have to do with Olympic sports? Nothing. It's just our infatuation with him. And again, this is not to hate on Snoop. I'm going to make this very clear, because someone will ultimately tweet me that I'm hating on Snoop and where he is. Again, I'm in amazement. I'm in awe of it. Where we've sort of put him now, and the responsibility that we have given Snoop Dogg, man. The responsibility that we've given him of now being a part of USA, you know, Team USA in the Olympics. It is strange to me, bro. And
especially
he's 50-something now.
Right, this late into sort of his career, it's like, dude, his career is basically over now. Like, I don't know.
Nah, it's been revived, bro.
Well,
I guarantee he got more
stuff like this.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably got more rolling in because of these opportunities. NBC's paying you on the payroll for NBC than you had when, you know, you were underneath Dre and them, and they're probably making all the money off you. Now, Snoop made a ton of money off his musical career. I'm not saying he's making more now, but I'm saying that he's just as hot. He's as hot as any 50-something-year-old that should be in the twilight of his musical career, because it's all the same oldies. Dude, we've revived Snoop in a way that I just would not have predicted.
Well, you know,
and certainly he would not have, but he has embraced.
Yeah, it's true, but, you know, we us whites are always late.
That's what it is. I think that's what it is.
Like, we're just now hearing about...
I love Snoop.
Not like us. You know, we just heard that one last week for the first time.
Well, Snoop, you real late to Snoop.
Real late.
But the Martha Stewart thing is what really crossed him over.
It opened up the eyes.
And it opened up all this. And, like, and you got to give him credit. He was great with her, man, and he made that watchable. Yeah. I didn't tune in.
No. No, I'm not.
Bro, that man was on trial for murder.
Unbelievable. What kind of example are we setting
now,
here?
He got off. Murder was the case that they gave him.
That's right. Yeah.
Y'all got him carrying the torch.
Anyway, interesting stuff there. Olympics getting underway here.
Get your money, Snoop.
This week. Indeed. It's happening. We'll come back. Frank Bonner going to join the show at 125. Just got that edition nailed down for the Daily Memphian.
Excellent.
Talk Tiger football with him. He's there for AAC Media Day, so he'll join us from Texas and give us the latest on Silverfield and the Memphis Tiger football program and the rest of the league at 125. Stick around. Jason and John, 90.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Joe Burrow has reported to training camp, and he looks different. He's got a new look. He has shaved his head. The Cincinnati Bengals quarterback has shaved his head, and it appears dyed his hair as well. So he has gotten a buzz cut and dyed his hair blonde. Remember when I had that moment like 5 years ago where I dyed my hair blonde?
Yes, I got a few pictures hanging around from that time. It's really...
I was also 27, like Joe Burrow. So he's having that like, this is my last hurrah type deal, you know what I mean, to dye my hair. And
oh,
so,
wow, that's dramatic.
He has done it.
That's a change.
He has done it. You know, I got to say, you know, I would have probably, I thought Joe had a great haircut. I thought he was doing a great job with
like a snowball.
You know what he had, but he apparently is going for the M look, the 2002 M look.
Well, all you guys go through that, don't you?
We do.
You want to bleach that
multiple times, even
that lettuce.
I went through it. I did it as a kid, then I did it again as an adult, and both times it was universally, you know, hated on. So
was it the hate that eventually brings you out of that stage?
No, it was my wife was like, don't. Don't do that again.
Yeah, that's what she was hating on you, and she got you. Or just an order.
It was really, yeah.
Stop asking me stupid f***ing questions.
And so it was just like, all right, whatever. I don't want to sit in the chair anymore.
How many times did you ask her, do you like it?
I only had to ask once. I didn't have to keep going back.
And then so after she said she didn't that first time, you were violating.
No. Once she
every day after, you were violating.
Once she said no, it was, I didn't have to, I didn't think she was going to change her mind. You know how women are, so... no, she just kind of dealt with it, which I'm like, it's my hair.
And I'd ask you just like I'd ask Joe, what were you doing it for? Was it for attention? You know, and again, especially a married man.
Yeah, I think it was just like,
whose attention you trying to get?
There's rumors that Joe Burrow's dating somebody.
Okay, maybe she suggested it.
I don't know who it would be.
It does. It dramatically changes his look, and I will say, just makes him, I don't know.
Maybe he's going through a breakup. Maybe that's what
it is. He was more handsome with the other head of hair. This makes him look a little creepy.
Yeah, I think the buzz does not suit him. I would say that.
Makes him look a little creepy to me.
Does it?
It's just personal opinion.
And
he was clean-cut, All-American Joe. You know, you put the gold on some days. You get real flashy. But this is different. This is an Eminem look.
Yes, it is. Now, the question is, you know, I mean, it's not going to prevent him from having the kind of year that we think he will have.
That might be in a helmet size down with such
it probably is.
Hair.
Yeah. People say that he lost all his riz, though, with the haircut. He lost all his aura.
Something's different, yeah. But again, the aura is based in the throws and the way he wins.
Right.
Not in the appearances.
But I will say,
I do feel like he's seeking attention when you make a change like this.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he need to? He's ranked high in most people's lists of quarterbacks.
Correct.
In the NFL. He's Mr. I'm the only guy that can beat Patrick Mahomes.
That's true.
So why do you need to seek the attention? I would ask that.
I don't know. It's possible there are rumors that he's going through a breakup.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.